to the awful tape in the swept center of the floor. The other had one of Fackelman's arms, while the bland guy in the Wembley tie gripped Fackelman's other arm and was slapping Fackelman lightly as the Delauded fought the Narcan. They'd seated Fackelman in his corner in Gately's special Demerol chair. Gately's balls throbbed with his pulse. The pharmacist's assistant's face was right up in Gately's. His cheeks and chin were a mess of silvery, scaly flakes, and an oily sweat on his forehead caught the window's sunlight as he gave Gately a tight smile.
"I'm pretty much straight already, Seaman, after that nut shot," Gately said. "If you don't want to waste the Narcan."
"Oh, this isn't no Narcan," C said softly, holding Gately's arm.
"Hadley,"
said the assistant, uncapping the syringe. C said, "Hold on to your hat." He poked the assistant's shoulder.
"Tell him. It's farm grade sunshine."
387,
the assistant said, tapping for a good vein. "Hold on to your heart," C said, watching the needle go in. The pharmacist slid it in expertly, horizontal and flush to the skin. Gately had never done sunshine, next to ungettable outside a Canadian hospital. He watched his own blood ruddle the serum as the pharmacist extended his thumb to ease the plunger back. The pharmacist's assistant could really boot. C's tongue was in the corner of his mouth as he watched. The corporate guy had Fackelman's arms held tight, and a transvestal who'd gotten in behind the chair held his head by the chin and hair as the gray lady knelt before him with her threaded needle. Gately couldn't keep himself from watching the stuff go in him. There was no pain. He wondered for a second if it was a hot shot. It seemed like a whole lot of trouble to go to just to get him off. The pharmacist's thumbnail was ingrown. There were a couple eczema flakes on Gately's arm where the guy was inclined over it. You get to like the sight of your own blood after a while. The pharmacist had him half booted when Fackelman started screaming. The scream's pitch got higher as it drew out. When Gately could look away from the stuff going in, he saw the librarian-type lady was sewing Fackelman's eyelids open to the skin above his eyebrows. As in they were sewing poor old Count Factula's eyes open. A kid on the playground had used to turn his lids inside out at girls like they were doing now to the poor old Faxter. Gately gave a reflexive jerk toward him, and C hugged him tight with one arm.
"Easy,"
C said very softly. The taste of the hydrochloride in the sunshine was the same, delicious, the taste of the smell of every doctor's office everywhere. He'd never done Tolwyn PX. Impossible to get scripts for, the PX, a Canadian blend. U.S. Tolwyn's got 0.5 milligrams of naloxone mixed in to cut the buzz, is why Gately only did NX on top of Bam Bam's.
388.
He understood they'd given Fackelman the anti-narc, so he'd feel the needle as they sewed his eyes open. Cruel is spelled with a U, he remembered. The two Orientals left the room at C's direction. Linda McSee sounded borderline psychotic. The little gray lady worked fast. The eye that was already sewed open bulged obscenely. Everybody in the room except C and the corporate guy and grim lady started shooting dope. Two of the fags had their eyes shut and their faces at the ceiling, as if they couldn't take watching what they were doing to their arm. The pharmacist was tying off the passed-out Pamela Hoffman Jeep, which seemed like insult plus injury. There was every kind of style and skill level of injection and boot going on. Fackelman's face was still a scream face. The corporate tool type was dropping fluid from a pipette into Fackelman's sewed open eye while the lady rethreaded the needle. It was just seeming to Gately he'd seen the fluid in eye thing in a cartridge or movie the MP'd liked when he was a bim playing ball on the chintz in the sea. When the sunshine crossed the barrier and came on. You could see why the U.S. made them cut the buzz. The air in the room got over clear, a glycerin shine, colors brightening terribly, if colors themselves could catch fire. The word on the C2 Tolwyn PX was it was intense but short acting and pricey.
no word on its interaction with massive residual amounts of IV Dilaudid. Gately tried to figure while he still could. If they were going to eliminate his map with an OD, they'd have used something cheap. And if the librarian was going to sew his eyes open, Gately was trying to think, too, they wouldn't have got him. Him. Got him off. The very air of the room bulged. It ballooned. Fackelman's screams about lies rose and fell, hard to hear against the arterial roar of the sun. McSee was trying to muffle a cough. Gately couldn't feel his legs. He could feel C's arm around him taking more and more of his weight. C's arms, his muscles rising and hardening. He could feel this. His legs were like opting out. Attack of floors and sidewalks. Kite used to sing a ditty called 32 Uses for Sterno, me lad. C was starting to let him down easy. Strong, squat, hard kid. Most heroin men you can knock down with a boo. C, there was a gentleness about C, for a kid with the eyes of a lizard. He was letting him down real easy. C was going to protect Bimmy Don from the bad floor's assault. The supported swoon spun Gately around, C moving around him like a dancer to slow the fall. Gately got a rotary view of the whole room in almost untakeable focus. Poincaré was vomiting chunkily. Two of the fags were sliding down the wall they had their backs to. Their red coats were aflame. The passing window exploded with light. Or else it was Demont that was vomiting, and Poincaré was taking the teepee's viewer off the wall and stretching its fibroid wire over toward Fackelman against the wall. One of Fax's eyes was as open as his mouth, disclosing way more eye than you ever want to see on somebody. He was no longer struggling. He stared piratically straight ahead. The librarian was starting on his other eye. The bland man had a rose in his lapel, and he'd put on glasses with metal lenses and was blind, high, and missing Fax's eye with a dropper half the time, saying something to Poincaré. A transvestal had PHJ's torn hem hiked up and a spiderish hand on her flesh-colored thigh. PHJ's face was gray and blue. The floor came up slowly. Bobby C's squat face looked almost pretty, tragic, half-lit by the window, tucked up under Gately's spinning shoulder. Gately felt less high than disembodied. It was obscenely pleasant. His head left his shoulders. Jean and Linda were both screaming. The cartridge with the held-open eyes and dropper had been the one about ultra-violence and sadism, a favorite of Kite. Gately thinks sadism is pronounced sadism. The last rotating sight was the chinks coming back through the door, holding big shiny squares of the room. As the floor wafted up and C's grip finally gave, the last thing Gately saw was an Oriental bearing down with a held square, and he looked into the square and saw clearly a reflection of his own big, square, pale head, with its eyes closing as the floor finally pounced. And when he came back to, he was flat on his back on the beach in the freezing sand, and it was raining out of a low sky, and the tide was way out. This has been an Oshet audio production of Infinite Jest, written by David Foster Wallace, read by Sean Pratt, produced and directed by John McElroy, engineered by John McElroy, edited by CDM Studios, mixed and mastered by CDM Studios. Infinite Jest is also available in print and as an ebook from Little Brown and Company, a division of Oshet Book Group. Text copyright 1996 by David Foster Wallace. Audio production copyright 2012 Oshet Audio. All rights reserved. In accordance with the U.S. Copyright Act of 1976, the duplicating, uploading, and electronic sharing of any part of this audiobook without permission of the publisher is unlawful piracy and theft of the author's intellectual property. If you would like to use material from the audiobook, other than for review purposes, prior written permission must be obtained by contacting the publisher at permissions@hbgusa.com. Thank you for your support of the author's rights.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.